This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
And with that abrupt ending, it is exactly midnight in New York City, and you are tuned to listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM. And that means that it's time for this. Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Anarchism for the global city. Radical environmentalism for the concrete jungle. Esoteric explorations of the secret history of rebel culture. Every Tuesday at midnight after the news on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5.
Oh, Las dos me engrandecí, a la una yo nací, a las dos me engrandecí, a las tres tú mi amante, y a las cuatro me casé, a las tres tú mi amante. Y a las cuatro me casé. Dime, niña, ¿dónde vienes? Que te quiero conocer. Dime, niña, ¿dónde vienes? Que te quiero conocer. Y si no tienes amante, yo te haré defender. Y si no tienes amante, yo te haré defender. Dos besos al aire di, yéndome para la guerra, dos besos al aire di. Uno fue para mi madre, y el otro para ti. Uno fue para mi madre, y el otro para ti. A la una yo nací, a las dos me engrandecí. A la una yo nací, a las dos me engrandecí, a las tres tomé amante y a las cuatro me casé. A las tres tomé amante y a las cuatro me casé.
Bravo. Welcome aboard, Gerard Adairey.
Thank you. Good to be here, Bill.
You know, I think I've heard that song before. At three, I took a lover. At four, I got married.
That's it. It's a life cycle song. And, you know, like with so many songs in this oral, Sephardic oral tradition, they are interpreted and reinterpreted and given new life by the artists who take it upon themselves to sing these pieces.
So where did you learn that song?
That song I learned actually from a dear friend of mine, Moti Deren, with whom I did a Sephardic and Latin American program years ago, and he taught me that song. It's one of these tunes that I've been singing for, you know, 20, 25 years, and I have multiple arrangements. Some are more flamenco inspired, some are more classical, some are more folky, and the great songs, and not just in oral traditions, in popular music, the great songs can stand to be interpreted and reinterpreted again and again with various arrangements.
And the music which we opened with, the recorded music, that was from?
Well, that is a new project called The Spirit of Sepharad from Kasbah to Caliphate. And it's a program that will be performed with some amazing musicians on June 25th at the Museum of Jewish Heritage at 7 p.m. And I've brought together some really very, very well-known world musicians, Glenn Velez on percussion, Ara Dinkian on oud, Amir Vahab, a Persian classical vocalist, Barbara Martinez, who is a dancer and vocalist, Meg Okura on violin, and Penina Schramm, the very well-known Jewish storyteller, to do the narration. And what I wanted to do with this program is to present Sephardic music and Sephardic culture in a new light, to give people a visceral experience of the music through a multimedia experience. So there will be background film footage, narration, which I wrote. Again, not coming at it from an academic point of view, because all the facts anybody can look up on the internet, but I wanted to give an experience of the eroticism and the incredible diversity of Sephardic music, not only in terms of the Jewish component, but in terms of, for instance, Persian music or Arabic music, that so influenced Sephardic music after the Sephardim were expelled from Spain in 92.
That would be 1492.
1492. You know, they were very influenced by the cultures that hosted them after the expulsion. And similarly, they influenced those cultures. So I'm always looking for the synergies between the cultures, between the different musical styles, so that when people say Jewish music, they often don't realize what a treasure trove it is. And in a way, it's universal music because of the different languages. Like this program, for instance, will be singing in 8 or 9 different languages, and it'll be musical styles from very flamenco-inspired pieces to Middle Eastern, Moroccan pieces, to Persian songs in Farsi, in Persian. And so it's very, very eclectic. And it's, the message is really, that the harmony that exists in the fluidity of oral traditions, you know, that really, we're all singing the same song on one level.
And the name of the record is also going to be Spirit of Sepharad.
Spirit of Sepharad. The song that you opened with, actually, is a prayer, the Shalom Aleichem, peace and blessings be unto you. And it's a prayer also in the Arabic world. You say Shalom Aleichem, you say Salam Aleikum.
Yes.
And then it segues into Adir Hu. Now, Adir Hu is from the Passover Haggadah. And it's a song from the Balkans initially, which I arranged to a Verdiales flamenco rhythm.
So what is that word? What kind of flamenco rhythm?
Verdiales. Uh-huh. That is the rhythm that I chose for this particular song.
Mm-hmm. Not familiar with that term. Verdiales?
Verdiales. It's a 3-4 rhythm, one of the popular flamenco rhythms, mm-hmm. to which very specific dance forms exist, and which Barbara Martinez will in fact dance to that tune at the world premiere on the 25th.
All right, so let me get this. There was a Balkan song which you put to this rhythm.
Yes,
and
it's a song that's in Hebrew, right?
Uh-huh.
But I use the Spanish rhythm. Why? Because the Sephardim who left carried their Iberian roots with them. And I think because of the nostalgia, it's like longing for their home, even though, they were kicked out and there was a great deal of cruelty, they nevertheless identified with Spanish culture. They felt themselves to be Spaniards. And so they brought the Ladino, which is the ancient Castilian that they spoke, they brought the Ladino to Muslim countries. And as a result, the Ladino became changed. The Ladino adapted certain words of the host culture so that, Arabic was interspersed with the Ladino and Turkish and Persian.
I would imagine perhaps some Slavic words.
Some Slavic words as well. And there's certain songs that seem to have traveled, and everyone seems to claim those songs, so that this music had such an itinerant quality that you find the same melody in the Balkans as you did in Spain with different lyrics. Sometimes you have different lyrics with the same melody,
right.
And it's a constant fluid process that is very fascinating.
In this Balkan song, which mm-hmm. you adopted, the lyrical references to the Haggadah were already there.
Oh yeah, the song is based on a passage of the Haggadah.
Mm-hmm. So it's not perceived.
And it's a song. No, it's a song that was sung in the Balkans, but to a different rhythm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's not perceived as, at least unorthodox to mix it up with a flamenco rhythm.
Well, you'll always have
secularize it too much.
You'll always have orthodox contingents in whatever tradition
yes.
you talk about who feel that, the music should be represented a particular way.
Mm-hmm.
And I have tremendous respect for people who decide to do it, who try to really stick to, how it must have been done and how it should be done. Why? Because it's important to know how it might have sounded at the source. At the same time, I'm also of the opinion that oral traditions are living things, and that as an artist living in 2008 in New York City, having been born in Casablanca, raised in Paris and New York, having been a product of the 70s folk scene, influenced by Joni Mitchell, Joan Baez, Bob Dylan, then having studied classical flamenco and then opera for 10 years, there's no way that I can pretend to interpret this music how somebody thinks it should be done.
Mm-hmm.
I have to inject my own creativity and my own
and your original source, of course, also was in his or her own social context, however many years ago, and influenced by various different factors, and got
exactly.
it from somewhere else
exactly.
in turn. And
that's right. And I think that really ends up being the predominant strain running through all of these oral traditions, is that we are influenced by our surroundings, and it therefore influences the music. You know, the famous example, of course, that the your opening tune there, the Moasha, right?
Right.
Lama bahada yatatana. Well, that's a Sufi song that was sung in Spain, Morocco, Syria, even. And the Jewish community heard this song and adapted the melody for their shachrit, or Saturday morning service. The same melody, except they sing El Adon HaMahasim, and so
which,
on.
Which means what?
Which means, you know, blessed be God, the source of strength and creation, mm-hmm. honoring his beauty and his mastery over all works. Mm-hmm. And in this program, the Spirit of Sepharad, there are many, many songs where I'm juxtaposing the Arabic, the Jewish, and the Christian elements, and showing how, in fact, closely knit they are. You know, how one influenced the other. You know, and I guess, you know, it's also, it's like a, for me, it's a template for what is possible. You know, that rather than tolerate another, that's the big word, you know, tolerance for other cultures these days. I kind of take objection to that term, because tolerance means, okay, you're putting up with the other guy.
Exactly.
You know?
And it already establishes what the dominant culture is. And
right. As opposed to honoring.
Yes.
Honoring the other culture then inspires a dialogue, and it inspires one's ability to open up to the other culture, you know, to absorb certain elements that may be like our own, that that we may learn from, and that we may then teach others. You know, it's like, let people come in to my world and let me come in to theirs. And I find that the music of the Golden Age of Spain and beyond seems to be a wonderful model for that kind of ability, you know, to do that.
Mm-hmm. All right, so most of these songs, in fact, do go back to the Golden Age of Spain?
Well, some of them do, and some of them are much more recent,
mm-hmm.
much more recent. Okay. And I wanted to show, you know, that even the more recent songs have a similar flavor. Now, obviously, the flavor has to do with the way in which I'm arranging them and interpreting them with these awesome musicians, but you can hear through the language, through the rhythms and the melodies, be they Middle Eastern or more Spanish-oriented, you hear the connection. You know, like the song I sang live, A la una yo nací, is a song from the Middle Ages in Spain, and yet it's a song that could also be 100 years old or 50 years old.
Mm-hmm. Now, was that particularly a Jewish song, or...?
It's a Sephardic song.
Sephardic song. All right, but it survived among the Sephardic people.
Yes,
but,
yes.
But were its origins particularly Sephardic, or...?
Well, again, we weren't there.
Exactly.
And there were no recordings,
yeah.
You know. We know how some of the music might have sounded from descriptions in books, from some of the illustrations of instruments. But, you know, again, there was such a synergy going on. You know, that Arabs were influenced by Jewish melodies and vice versa. You know, so it's very hard to say this was strictly Jewish.
Right,
and that's the whole beauty of it, that we don't know. And that there was a tremendous mixture going on, you know, a tremendous kind of sharing and... you know, very fertile soil for this kind of exchange.
All right, so you have your own label.
I do.
Called?
Sepharad Records.
Uh-huh.
And it's spelled with the F, not the PH, mm-hmm. S-E-F-A-R-A-D.
Whereas the record is...
SepharadRecords.com is the website.
Mm-hmm. Whereas the concert and the upcoming record are going to be spelled with the PH.
That's right.
All right.
That's
Spirit of Sepharad.
Spirit of Sepharad, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And how long has the label been around?
Since 1991. And it actually started, I had no intention of creating a label, but in 1992, I was asked to do some concerts at, you know, Yeshiva University Museum, various synagogues, JCCs, festivals for the commemoration of the expulsion of the Jews from Spain. At that time, I was singing opera as a pretty full-time career. And so I started doing some of these concerts and all of a sudden feeling like that was more my calling and that I had put down my guitar really for 10 years that I was singing opera. And so I kind of came back to what my first love in music was, which was song and being a troubadour. And I mean, at the age of 17, I was already singing in 7-8 languages.
Wow.
Something that just came to me as a result of having, you know, lived in so many different places at a young age. And so I put down 12 songs with the great oud player George Mrgodichian.
Oh, yeah.
He was in my groups for many, many years, and he passed away, sadly, two years ago.
Yeah. We did a retrospective program for
him. Oh, did you? Yeah. Great. Yeah. So I'm very, very sad. He was a dear, dear friend and beloved colleague. And so we went in, and in a few hours, we recorded our first CD, which was called Romanzas Sefarditas. And since then, I've kind of tried to retire it a few times because, you know, I feel like I've come so much further. And yet it refuses to, you know, people still want that record. And so when I put out the record, I thought, well, I better put it out on some kind of label. So I said, oh, let's call it Sephirot Records.
Ah, there you go.
You know, and then, well, another friend said, well, let's produce another CD, and just kept doing it. And now we have 14 CDs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you play on all of them?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I do. And, I mean, we distribute a couple of CDs from some of the artists that I work with, but mainly, they promote various aspects of what I do, you know, whether it's French music or world music or Latin American. But the heavy emphasis has been on researching and reinterpreting Sephardic songs.
So the overwhelming majority of these songs would be originally penned by that extremely prolific personality, Trad. Or some of them bear your name.
Absolutely. Well, yes, because I've composed a number of songs either using Sephardic texts or writing certain lyrics, but still in that style. You know.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the ones you're going to be performing on June 25th at the Museum of Jewish Heritage,
mm-hmm.
at Spirit of Sephirot, those are mostly traditional songs? Or?
Those are, yes, uh-huh. all traditional songs, mm-hmm. all traditional from, you know, the Persian, Turkish, Spanish, Arabic communities of the diaspora.
And all these songs have been handed down from generation to generation, sort of kept alive in vivo to the present day?
In fact, they have.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And where? I mean, are these songs still being performed in Tehran and in Casablanca and
yes.
places in between?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, most of the music is not top 40 material, you know, it's specialized, it's world music fans,
right, of course.
People who listen to alternative kind of music,
sure.
will be aware, like the Mwasha, for instance, that you played, or certain other Arabic songs that we're doing on the program, people from Morocco, Algeria, many world music communities in Europe and even in the United States will be familiar with those songs.
Well, I just pick your brain.
Yes.
I mean, Mwasha is a form.
It is a form.
Right.
It's a musical and poetical form. So Mwasha,
so that particular one
is called Lama Bada.
Uh-huh.
And
that's its name in Hebrew or Arabic?
In Arabic.
Uh-huh.
And El Adon in Hebrew.
And what do they respectively mean? Do you know?
I'm blanking out on the exact translation of those words. But but it's not Moshe. Moshe refers really to the
right.
poetic form. Very
right.
often those words, you know, like that song is very often called the Moshe.
Right.
But there are thousands
exactly.
of Moshes.
Exactly. That's, in fact, on the record that I got that from, which is Eclipse by Hamza Eldin.
Hamza Eldin,
yeah.
yes, on Desert Blues.
I'm not sure what the label was, to tell
yeah.
the truth, but
yeah.
that's forever.
I love that interpretation.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
It's really haunting.
Yeah.
But he just calls it Moshe,
right.
and I know there's got to be more to the story than that.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
yeah.
Hmm. Well, I should say that it's 12:31 in the morning on listener-supported non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM here in New York City. This is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. I'm Bill Weinberg, and we're really privileged to be joined tonight by Gerard Ederi, who is going to be playing at the Museum of Jewish Heritage on June 25th, a concert entitled Spirit of Sepharad, From Kasbah to Caliphate. Now, you say that this is going to be, actually, it's going to be narrated.
Yes.
So this is going to be providing historical annotation?
Well,
there
will be some uh-huh. historical information, but really It's very, very delicately interwoven. In a way, the narration is a comment on the songs. My desire was really to create a very tight-knit, visceral experience. Visual, oral, dramatic. In order to communicate some of the beauty and richness of Sephardic culture and music. So the narration certainly has moments of historical, you know, chronological events, but it's certainly far from a lecture.
Right. So what would be some of the events which would be referenced just for the...
Well, the main events, of course, of the expulsion, you know, the edict of expulsion, the subsequent diaspora and the experience of the Sephardim in Morocco, in Turkey, the fact that they continued to write songs, poems, even in the foreign lands that they ended up in. And that many left, and this is one of the images that we use in the narration, that many left with the keys to their homes, hoping to return one day. And of course,
right.
when some of them did return, the locks had been changed long ago. So it's through metaphors and images like that that we hope to convey the very poignant story of the Sephardim, but also using it as, you know, it's not particular to the Sephardim. I mean, there have been expulsions before, and there have been, you know, oppressed minorities before, and it just, you know, I choose to look at the positive aspect of the experience, that even though they were told to leave with only what they could carry, or convert, or be burned at the stake, they nevertheless retained a certain optimism and a certain resiliency, that within a generation, most of the Sephardim assimilated into the countries that accepted them. In Turkey, of course, the Ottoman Empire being one of the places where the Jewish community thrived. And the Sultan there said, you know, Spain's loss is our gain. And the Sephardim very quickly established themselves as wonderful financiers and government officials, and, you know, they were right in there. And part of it was their linguistic skill and their need over the centuries to have been interfacing with these different cultures, with the Spaniards and with the, you know, Christian, the Moors, and to the extent that rabbis, for instance, visiting Spain from Eastern Europe, from a more Ashkenazi background, were kind of upset with their Sephardic brethren because they felt they had become too secularized.
Mm.
Okay? And that secularization, in fact, was a strength in terms of surviving and in terms of even thriving in some of these far-flung places.
Mm-hmm. So, the Balkan song, which we opened with earlier, that would have, I mean, the Balkans were under Ottoman rule at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you know where in the Balkans, just out of curiosity?
That particular song? I'm not sure exactly.
Hard to say.
You know, I mean, it's hard to say, okay, this song is from that place, as I said earlier.
Exactly.
You know, so many different countries have versions of those same songs, you know, and some countries claim a song as their own, and then you see it crop up elsewhere.
Right. But there were certain centers of Sephardic culture.
Yes.
Sarajevo, I believe.
Was a big center. Salonika.
Uh-huh.
Huge, huge center, and the whole Sephardic population was decimated during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And in Turkey, of course, there were many, many Jews, Sephardim.
So do we want to hear some more from Spirit of Sephardim?
Sure,
or do you want to play some more?
Why don't you play the, to give you a sense of a Persian song,
okay.
Play Navoi, which would be the very last one on that.
So cut number five.
Go to cut number five.
Okay,
yeah.
We'll do
and
that.
And this is Navoi. It's a Persian song featuring Amir Vahab, who is our Persian classical vocalist.
Uh-huh.
I'm a dad now.
ellos empiezan a cantar, ya es la hora de levantar. Los gallos empiezan a cantar, ya es la hora de levantar. No esperemos el sol y el día en nuestra chica colonia. No esperemos el sol y el día en nuestra chica colonia. Montes altos vamos a ir, alegres días a vivir. En montes altos vamos a ir, alegres días a vivir. Juntaremos el sol y el día en nuestra chica colonia. Juntaremos la casica, esta muestre suerte chica. Los gallos empiezan a cantar, ya es la hora de levantar. Los gallos empiezan a cantar, ya es la hora de levantar. No esperemos el sol y el día en nuestra chica colonia. No esperemos el sol y el día en nuestra chica colonia.
Right, Gerard Adairy, once again, performing first a Persian cut from...
Persian song called Navoi,
a
very old song sung by my friend Amir. And really, the image you have in this song is of a caravan going through the desert and a beautiful woman in a palanquin. And the young man is just, you know, rushing forward and backward to try and keep the dust from bothering this beautiful young woman. So
these are what the words reference in Persian.
Yes, ultra romantic and devotional kind of poetry. And then I decided to sing for you Los Gallos Empiezan a Cantar, which is a song from Turkey, and I spoke earlier about the resilience of the Sephardim. And this song happens at a point in the show, shortly after the expulsion, where they're off to another land and they're saying, you know, the sun is shining and the roosters are crowing, and our little luck, our little piece of luck, muestra suerte chica, will be to build a little house wherever we go and to somehow find a way to survive and not only to survive but to thrive in these new lands. So it's a song full of hope.
And once again, where did you, both of these songs, how did they come to you?
Well, the Navoi is a song that Amir taught the group, because he's a Persian specialist.
And he learned it in Iran?
Yes. Yeah. He plays, you know, many, many different instruments, and he's a very well-known, well-regarded in that world. And he sings also in 5-6 different languages, in Kurdish. In fact, there'll be a Kurdish song on the program. There'll be, of course, several songs in Persian. very, very rich linguistic program in that way.
And the one about the roosters crowing.
The rooster's crowing. That's a song that I learned actually from a book. You know, I'm always looking for volumes of songs that have been compiled either by folklorists or musicologists, people who have gone out in the field, you know, with a tape recorder and, you know, sing me this song. And so there are some very, very wonderful volumes, some very hard to find and very costly when you do find them. But I'm always on the lookout, and I have quite an impressive library now of material I've collected over the years. So I'm always poring over this material. And, again, not all the songs are great, you know, because remember that the melodies in this oral tradition, as is the case in many oral traditions, the melody was a mnemonic device. It was really used to pass on the stories and the ballads before the advent of the printing press. So very often you have, you know, an 8-measure melody that goes on for 25 verses, you know. So it gets a little boring if you look at it just from a purely musical point of view. Of course, if you tell a story, that can be very exciting. So, you know, I sift through hundreds and hundreds of songs, and I choose songs that I think are not only great pieces from an oral tradition point of view, but also just great music, you know, great songs that somehow there's certain pieces that transcend, that they go, oh, that is a great piece in whatever country, whatever age you're talking about. It's a great text, great melody, catchy tune, a hook, if you want to put it in more modern terms, more contemporary terms. And
all right, so you found this song in a book?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What book, if I may inquire?
A collection of songs by Leon Algazi, who compiled several volumes of Sephardic
and this,
songs.
Where and when did he do this?
You're testing my
Más o menos.
I would say that volume probably, I'd say 40s, 50s.
Uh-huh.
Even though there are some that are earlier than that. Mm-hmm. But that volume, I think 1956.
Okay.
But again, you know.
And where did he do this? Where did he do his work?
Well, he went out into the Turkish community, but I believe that this volume was published in Israel. Again, I'd have to look again to give you precise information, but there are many who did this. There was Isaac Levy, of course, was a very famous musicologist, and he probably has the most volumes, both liturgical and secular music. And his daughter, Yasmin Levy.
Oh, yeah.
Is,
sure. Yeah, we played her music. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and then there was also Alberto Hemzi. Mm-hmm. He was an Egyptian Jew living in Alexandria, Western trained musician, classically trained musician. And he went out into the field and compiled what he called the Coplas Sephardias. And he went to various countries and, again, had people, you know, sing into a tape recorder or whatever. Then he transcribed these. Then he arranged these songs for classical piano. He turned them into lieder, essentially.
Uh-huh.
And for my taste, it's a little heavy-handed. You know, it's like the material almost can't stand that intense an orchestration. Mm-hmm. He's very Stravinsky-esque in his arrangements.
Really?
And, you know, lots of dissonances. And
wait, this is with orchestration or just piano?
Well, he has some pieces orchestrated, but mostly piano,
uh-huh.
Piano voice.
And what's his name again?
Alberto Hemzi.
Uh-huh.
H-E-M-S-I.
And is he still recording today?
Oh, no, he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when did he do this
in
work?
The 50s,
in the
60s.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I have all these volumes, you know, and so I'm always, looking for material. And I might look at a song that at one time doesn't turn me on, and then, you know, a few months later I'll look at it again or have a different idea for the song, and it'll somehow, you know, trigger something up. Here's a tune, for instance.
Okay.
I'll sing it for you. It's called Hija Mia Mi Querida.
Mm-hmm.
And a song from Turkey. The father is telling his young girl not to go into the sea because it's very stormy. And the sea might swallow her up. But she says, "Father, may a big fish swallow me whole, for I am suffering of love." Hija mia, mi querida, no te eches a la mar. Hija mía, mi querida, aman, aman, no te eches a la mar. Que la mar está en fortuna, mira que te va. Que me lleve, que me traiga, man, 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 siete puntas de hondo. Que me engluta, peche preto para salvar el amor. Que me engluta, peche preto para salvar el amor, para salvar del amor, para salvar del amor.
So, where did this song come from?
That's a Turkish song.
Uh-huh.
Turkish song, and again, I changed the rhythm a little bit. The actual,
it's almost got a rock and roll kind
of
feel to it.
Yeah,
actually.
I kind of rocked it. Yeah. The more traditional rhythm is.
Que te va a llevar, que me lleve, que me traiga, mana, 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 puntas de hondo, que me engluta, peche preto para salvar del amor, que me engluta, peche preto para salvar del amor, para salvar del amor.
So that's para que de amor?
Para salvar del amor.
Mm-hmm.
Save me from
love. Save me from love, right. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So that's Hija Mia, Mi Querida. Yeah, let me do another one also. These songs are actually from my last album, Amid the Jasmine. And here's another one which I arranged more in a kind of a flamenco. It starts with a tarantas introduction.
A what introduction?
Tarantas, again, is a Sephardic, a flamenco classical, very free rhythmical form. And I'm going to put these headphones on. Okay. And this tune is called Entre las Huertas Paseando, Amid the Jasmine. I was passing one day, and I saw a young girl crying, and tears were rolling down her eyes, tears like pearls, and I asked her what was wrong. And she said to me, again, I'm suffering because the love of my life has left me. Entre las huertas paseando, entre el yacimín, entre las huertas paseando, entre el yacimín, viví una hija muy hermosa enfrente de mí. Ella es hermosa y muy graciosa, que me hizo desair. Ella es hermosa y muy graciosa, que me hizo desair.
Sorry. Well, you've been building up a sweat there. So what was that song?
That's called Entre las Huertas Paseando. And a very similar song, actually, is on the Spirit of Sefarad, song called Tres Morias.
This is yes, I meant to ask you about
very,
this song, in
fact. Very famous Spanish tune that, again, I arranged in a kind of rumba-esque fashion. You'll hear very flamenco-like. And it's a very famous song. Three Moorish beauties I met in Cheyenne, and their names were Asha, Fatima, y Merien. And they were off to pick olives. And, of course, you get a sense of the arid landscape. And they came back, and the olives had already been picked. So the young man who meets them says, "Tell me, who are you, you beautiful women?" "We are Asha, Fatima, and Merien. We were once Moors, but now we are Christians." So the Moors also were forced to convert. So anyway, he falls in love with these three women. And
okay, so you've also got a version of that on
Oh, that's right. So you've got my CD on yes, exactly.
Oh, what's the name of this one?
That's Linda Amiga. That's a CD that I put out in 1997, mm-hmm. Juxtaposing the Spanish and the Sephardic repertoire. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Good observation.
So you've got more of a rumba feel.
This is my updated version of Tres Morias.
We'll have to give that a listen. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. But first, let me ask you a couple of questions, if I may.
Of course.
And so the one you just performed mm-hmm. is called once again
Entre las Huertas Paseando.
Or passing among the
the huertas is like the garden, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. orchard, mm-hmm. the jasmine bowers to mm-hmm. be. Precise.
All right, so Huerta particularly has a jasmine reference?
Well, the jasmine reference is in another lyrics. Entre las huertas paseando, entre el yacimín. So, amid the jasmine,
which
is in fact the title of my last CD called Amid the Jasmine, mm-hmm, based on that song.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what is the link between that song and the Tres Morias?
The way in which I arranged it. The way in which I arranged mm-hmm. it. And the fact that even though Entre las Huertas Paseando is a song from Turkey, right, it has a very Spanish, Iberian kind of text. Mm-hmm. It has a romanza mm-hmm. feel. And like I said earlier, the Sephardim continued writing in the style of their Iberian ancestors.
Right. Okay, so what's the context for the Tres Morias?
Tres Morias, it's a Spanish song, you know, more from the Christian angle.
But
again, you listen to that song and you go, Sephardic, Spanish, Christian, you know, Moorish. I mean, again, to show the lines were not so, you know, rigidly drawn.
Well, it's very interesting that the girls are called the Morias, but they say now we're Christians, we used to be Moors.
Yes.
So presumably whoever wrote the song, whoever the girl said that to, must have been a Christian or a converso.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, the converso being the ones who were forced to convert and remain in Spain, those who chose to stay.
Exactly.
And again, it's by that famous author, Anonymous.
Yes, exactly. Or Trad, his brother.
Trad and Anon.
Right. Should we give that a listen?
Yeah.
What number is that?
That would be number 4, I believe.
And where did you find that song?
Well, that song has been recorded many, many times. There's a classical version by Fernando Obradors, you know, with a classical piano accompaniment. Again, it's a very, very famous song that's been interpreted by early music groups, and I went to town on it. You know, again, it's one of these songs that just is so inspiring to me, you know, the melody and the feeling and the way the words roll off the mouth, you know. Tres morias tan garridas iban a coger olivas y hallaban las cogidas en Chaen, Asha, Fatima y Merien. There's certain texts that are delicious to sing, you know, and this is such a song.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the version that you've got on Linda Amiga would be the more, shall we say, faithful version of this?
Yeah, I mean, even on Linda Amiga, it's not like early music because I'm using a guitar.
So
the moment you use a guitar, you're like bringing it to contemporary feel. But yes, it's a little bit more traditional.
So greater liberties with the version we're about to hear.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And just on the vocabulary tip, I'm trying to get a sense of, because when I play these Sephardic songs, I can almost always get the gist of them from my Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Ladino is considered a separate language. But it seems that it's pretty much kind of archaic Spanish with a whole bunch of accidentals thrown in from mostly Turkish and Arabic.
You put your finger on it. I couldn't have expressed it better. I mean, it's really regarded as an ancient Castilian
mm-hmm.
with slight variations in pronunciation. And, of course, there are expressions that were particular to the Sephardic communities, and as you say, many expressions ended up coming from the Turkish and the Arabic, and so, but of course Hebrew was always interspersed,
right.
And in fact sometimes Ladino was written in Hebrew characters, mm-hmm. much like Yiddish was written sometimes with Hebrew characters. So there are many, many permutations of the language depending on what community you're looking at.
Sure.
And when I wrote my songbook, which was published a few years ago, I went through real headaches about, you know, how to spell this stuff, you know, because everywhere you look, there's a different spelling for Ladino. Some will spell the K sound with an actual K, and then others using the more Spanish spelling will use a C. So I decided to go with the more Spanish, contemporary Spanish spelling, simply because it's easier to read to people knowing Spanish. On the other hand, sometimes I go back and forth. Like maybe if I put out a second book, I might use the more traditional spelling with the K's and the Y's instead of the double L's. You know, so it depends. It really is a judgment call.
Right. But I would imagine, even though it's considered one language, that the Ladino spoken, say, in the Balkans and that spoken in Morocco would be very different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And in fact, what happens is they learn the language of the country.
Right.
And Ladino tends to recede. I mean, certainly within the last century or so. Like, for instance, my paternal grandparents only spoke Arabic. Now, they were Moroccan Jews from way back, right? But even my mother's family, which were the Spanish Jews who came over to North Africa after the expulsion, even they lost Ladino. I mean, they spoke Spanish. They were more likely to speak modern-day Spanish than Ladino. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Arabic and French, Morocco having been a French protectorate.
All right, so where did they get the Spanish as opposed to the Ladino?
From a generation of my family that lived in Argentina.
Okay. Okay.
So they were very sensitive. And I mean, it's almost like, you know, resuscitating an old friend.
Right.
You know,
it was
like so much part of their cultural mm-hmm. attitude. Mm-hmm.
And so did you mention you have a book?
I do. I have a song book, which I published in conjunction with Tara Publications.
Uh-huh.
And
entitled
the Gerard Ettery Sephardic Songbook.
There you go.
And you can pick it up at sephardrecords.com.
Uh-huh.
And again, I went through my, as I said earlier, my considerable library and culled 40 of the most beautiful songs. And I have a pronunciation guide and original lyrics, translations, melody, chords, arrangement suggestions, exhaustive bibliography of other materials, sources where I got some of the songs from, and with a wonderful foreword by Penina Schram. And I spent over 2 years putting it together. It was a real labor of love, but it's a good volume.
Uh-huh.
For those interested in singing these songs. And it's also very accessible, and there's an accompanying CD as well.
Wow, great.
About 70 minutes of music.
Uh-huh. All right, well, we're rapidly running out of time, and there's so much more I would like to talk about.
Okay.
Why don't we give this a listen? Cut 4, you said?
Yes.
All right, and this is, once again,
Tres Morias.
Tres Morias.
Tres Morias me enamoran en Shaen. Ashay Fatima y Maria. Fatima.
Spirit of Sefarad. And I'd like you to hear now a tune from Cantigas de Santa Maria. The Cantigas de Santa Maria was compiled by Alfonso the Wise, Alfonso X. And basically they are odes to the Virgin Mary, and there are some 350 or more of them. This is the very first one. And again, I arranged it, you know, with a more contemporary sensibility. But this particular one describes the birth of Jesus Christ. It's called Desoje Mais, and it's in Galician Portuguese.
Well, Galician, again, is considered a separate language. It's kind of like halfway between Spanish and Portuguese.
Yes, right. Yes. And it actually sounds a lot like Ladino in terms of the softening of the consonants.
And this is from your earlier album.
This is from an album called Two Faiths, One Voice, which just came out very recently. This is actually a song which we're also going to perform on Spirit of Sepharad, because I felt it was very important to include a Christian tune, you know, from the period.
All right, and this period, what is the period?
We're talking about 15th century.
Wow. So this Alfonso, who...
Alfonso the Wise.
Uh-huh. He was?
He was a very learned man, a king, and very much wanted to promote cultural understanding, and he was a bit of a musician himself, and really a great catalyst for the arts.
Alfonso X of Spain.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So he was actually, in addition to being monarch.
Alfonso el Sabio, yes. He was also a cultural maven at the time.
Uh-huh. Great. Okay. And what's the name of this
tune?
So
this tune is called Desoje Mais.
Which
and,
means?
From now on, I will be the troubadour of that noble lady. From now on, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But then it goes on to say, I will be the noble troubadour of that noble lady in whom God has placed this very, very special miracle.
Okay. So, let's give it a listen.
Desoje mais quereu trobar pola Senhor honrada en que eu Deus quis carne fiar beta et sagrada por nos dar gran soldada no seu reino et nos herdar por seus demas nada de vida perrundada sen habermos pois a passar per morto travegada.
Oh,
te mais quero diventa como seguro cansada a peie me foi pulsar no portal da entrada un pario senta ardada Gesù Cristo foi o deitar como mulher menguada o deita nat se vada no preserve a pusenta contra bestia starada
Once again, we've unfortunately only have 5 minutes left, and I feel like we could just keep going all night. We've been speaking with Gerard Adairey and hearing him perform live in the studio, and he's going to also be performing live at the Museum of Jewish Heritage on June 25th at 7 p.m., performing a work entitled Spirit of Sephiroth from Kasbah to Caliphate. We've been hearing some cuts from the forthcoming album of that name, as well as some cuts, such as the one we last heard, from his previous album, Two Faiths, One Voice, which was a collaboration with Maria
Krupovis. Who is a very dear, beloved colleague from Lithuania. Mm-hmm. And she and I have been doing many, many concerts and projects together.
So you're sort of bringing in more of the Iberian tip, and she's bringing in more of the Eastern European, right, Ashkenazic tip.
And again, we're finding a lot of similarities in the repertoire. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's very, very exciting. You know, the longer I do this, and the more I dig, the more humble I become, because I've barely scratched the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
You know, there's just so much, and it's fascinating.
Well, it's very heartening that somebody's doing this work and keeping this culture alive.
Thank you.
In this age of corporate globalization and monoculture. So, unfortunately, the one thing we didn't talk too much of is about you and your personal story. Could you give it to us?
Well, you'll have to have me back.
Yes, I would love to, by all means. But you were already performing in 8 languages when you were 17.
Yes.
And where was that? That was in Casablanca or Paris?
Well, no. After high school, I traveled around Europe for about a year and sang in the subways and on the street and clubs and everywhere I went, I picked up songs and I met people who taught me songs. I taught them songs, and you know, it was the 70s, and I was a hippie.
Mm-hmm.
And all those values of, you know, the troubadour hippie, I guess, have never left my core. It's informed everything I've done in a way with this repertoire, and it just sort of found my creative home.
Mm-hmm. And the musicians you're going to be performing with are the same ones who are on the record?
Yes. Again, you know, I'm just so, so proud of all of them and the commitment and dedication that they've shown to this project. And of course, they're absolutely stellar abilities on their instruments. They not only have the chops, but they play with soul.
Mm-hmm. And is this your more or less permanent lineup, or
well,
came together for this
you
project?
Know, my lineups tend to change a little bit,
right.
but I have, you know, between 8 and 10 musicians that I use all the time. Mm-hmm. Some that I've been working with for over 10 years, and I believe that's an important aspect of how we're able to make this music accessible and come alive. Is that you know, there's a trust between the musicians on stage, and the fact that we've played so much together, we sort of know what the other one's going to do before we even do it.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
It's a sixth sense, and it's very, very gratifying.
And in 25 words or less, could you tell us something about the title, Spirit of Sephiroth, from Kasbah to Caliphate?
Well, the Kasbahs, of course, you know, were the Arabic sections of the cities, right? The places where people went to buy their food and the common man's place. And the caliphates, of course, were where the sultans and the sheikhs lived. And so it's a way of showing how how the wandering happened not just from country to country, but from the street to the palaces.
Gotcha.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.